tonight, I want to share a word with you. Okay? So we are going to share a word. There's nothing going to be over there. I'm going to just recap a little bit about last week for those that weren't here. Just quickly. And I want you to take out either your Bibles, if you've got one, or your smartphones where you've got a Bible app on it. And then I want you to turn to Luke 10 with me. So we're going to read from Luke 10, from verse 1 to verse 20. And we're going to skip verse 13 to 16. So it's just going to be those verses. But then we're going to do, like I told you last week, many times we get kind of stuck in a rut and we do things in the same way as always. And I love it when new people come to church, new people like Donnie, and a lot of people that ask me questions. They come to me and they ask like a mundane question, but why do we do it like this? And I'm like, because we've been doing it like this. That's why we do it like this. Okay, so tonight's going to be a little bit different, just regarding the sermon, because now you wait to receive something. We're going to receive something, but we're going to receive it from one another, apart from me, and I'm going to just facilitate what we're going to go through. But what I wanted to just recap quickly is last week we spoke about being a missional church, and I've also spoken about it this morning, and I think it'll be a little bit of a theme again for us going into this second term. So being a missional church is... it's actually just a different term, you know. If you want to use apostolic, that is a good translation to take it from apostolic to missional. It just means an apostle. That word actually means being a sent one. Okay, so being a missional church is one where you are sent. Okay, so for those of you that weren't here last week, we just spoke about we serve a sending God. So God the Father, in the beginning, then in Genesis 15, God the Father and God the Son, they made a covenant. You know, they took Abram in there. Abram was there to do some mundane tasks. But then it was God the Father and God the Son just setting up salvation for us, okay, with one another. And God the Father sent the Son into this world. And then from there, Jesus came and he died, and as Jesus rose up, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I'm going to give you another helper. So God the Father and God the Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in Acts 2. In Acts 2, we get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then in that place, we've got the birth of the church. And then God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sends the church into this world. Okay, so it brings us, you know, and again, just my thinking, when it comes to being sent and what you are doing in this world, when you can frame your mindset in that and in that way, that I am already sent. Okay, so wherever I am, it doesn't matter. So that's why when Paul and those people, when they are in prison, they witness and they minister there, because they know they've already been sent there. Not looking at circumstances, not looking at what is happening around them to say, oh, you know, but maybe God got this one wrong. He didn't. Okay, so you've already been sent. God is the one that sends us. And wherever you are missional. So when you frame your mindset in that, then it's easy to live. Okay, it's not easy, comfortable, but it's easy to know that wherever you are sent. You've been sent there by God for a reason. Because only you can do what you can do as a missionary in that place where you are. Okay, so that is a quick just summary, very poor summary of last week's sermon. But you can go and listen to it online if you want to. But I want us to just read through Luke 10 and those verses. So before we read it, I'll let you read it on your own. Okay, so I'll give you... I don't know, somebody might need 5 minutes to read through this, but I'll give you 3 minutes. I want you to read through this portion of Scripture with this in mind. You know, Jesus is, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background, is Jesus that is sending out the 72. Okay, so Jesus is doing the first mission. Okay, so he's sending for the first time people. That's before the Holy Spirit came. Okay, so it's kind of like a grace period where he just gives them authority to go and preach the gospel and do all these things. But what I want us to do is to, in today's terms, where we are, let's look at that scripture in a missional mindset, and let's take from that the things that, you know, pop up to you regarding what you see there. Okay, so for all of us it will be different, but it's good to do an exercise like this so that you can start thinking your way through a piece of scripture. All right, and let's start there. So you can read it, and then I'm going to read it for us, and then we're going to start speaking. We're going to be speaking about that scripture. Okay, so go, for those of you who haven't started yet. Luke 10 up until verse 20. 1 to 20. Luke 10, verse 1 to 20. Okay, we've got a minute left. Next week people will be bringing their Bibles again to church. Okay, I'll read it to us. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him 2 by 2 into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborers, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to your feet will we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" Then we skip 13 to 16, and we go to 17. 17 says, "And the 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fell like lightning from heaven, and behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." All right, so that is our scripture for tonight. When you think about missions and doing the work that we do, what do you see in that scripture? Okay, there's not a right and a wrong here. Okay, so please, don't think that you need to tick the box here. We're going to learn from one another what we see there just regarding missions. Okay, so we're going to start at the top. So is there something that somebody wants to lift out to us? There's a mic there with Donnie, so that everybody can hear you. Yeah, sit right there.
Okay, I see like God has a plan.
Okay.
And on top of all, he's got a plan.
He's got a plan? Cool. All right, and where do you get it from this scripture? In the beginning. Okay? All right.
And you can't go on a mission if you haven't planned the mission. The missionaries must have a goal, an end goal.
Okay.
So if the soldiers are going to a certain land to go free somebody that's been captured there, yeah, they have to do the homework. And they go with a goal, not to come back without that person.
Cool. All right.
I have a son that, and also this one next to me, and my daughter.
And that one that sits next to him. You know, those
but
people.
They,
my son and those people.
But him and his brother, they feel called to go on these missions,
yeah.
As much as they can. And I think it boils down to obedience.
Right. Cool. Right. All right. So go to Peter. I'm just going to try and bring it into the scripture. The first two comments that we see is that the Lord appointed. Okay, so there was planning. God appointed the 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two. And then this is crucial, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Okay? All right, Peter?
I just see that it was people who was always following him.
Yeah.
And he sent them two by two.
Yes. Okay, let's stop with that. I'm glad that you brought that up. So, what's this two by two deal? What makes that significant? All right. One can pray while the other one is busy. Yeah, intercede praying, same thing, interceding. Cool. Okay, think of some other scriptures that you can think about two people. Where two or more agree about anything. Okay, so there's that agreement thing there. Peter? Yes. Okay, that's the other scripture. If one falls, then the other one can help him out. If you go on your own, then when you fall, who can pick you up? You know, you get that in the mission field a lot. Missionaries that were sent, they were going on a mission, God sent them, and then they were all alone. And then, you know, 3 years down the line, they're backslidden, offended with the church or with God, don't want to serve me anymore, and all of that. Okay? So, two by two. Okay, so that's great to see those things. Okay. We're thinking tonight. Okay? Yeah. Okay? That's good. It's really good. Because, you know, there's a law. When you see things like this, it's good to take it back to other places earlier in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, if you can pull it through to that place. Okay? So, when it was two by two, when it was you know, male and female, what was the reason for them being two by two? Survive? No. Fruitfulness. Okay? The first commandment God gives, he gives to Adam and Eve. Right? And he says to them, be fruitful and multiply and do what with the earth? Fill the earth. Okay. I want some on this left-hand side of mine. Okay. The back and this right-hand side are very active tonight. Okay, so I don't want you guys to feel left behind. So, why did God in the beginning, with the two by two thing, why did God in the beginning say, fill the earth? What was the plan? Okay, we're speaking about the missional God that's already sent. He wants to send. Okay, so in the beginning, before the fall, before there was sin, he said to Adam and Eve, listen, you guys go and you go and multiply and fill the earth. Why? Let his kingdom come, okay? Many children. All right? Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. I'm not going to give you the answers. You're going to figure it out. God said, let us make man in our image. Yeah, I gave you the answer. And he said, how did he make them? Yeah? Represent Holland. You must be doing some Bible school or something. That is exactly that. God wants representatives all over the world. And that even before the fall, okay? God said, let make man in our image, and then man and woman, he made them in his image. And what I want you to see is God said, not my image, our image. Okay? The unity, the triune God making us man and woman in his image, and then says, go out, fill the earth. Why? To be a representative, to be the glory of God in the whole world. Okay? God's plans haven't changed. So, still, when it goes out two by two, anyway, so we're speaking about the 2x2 just now. But you see, there's a lot of richness when you start to think about these things, okay? And learn from one another. All right. So let's go on from there. And then it says, I'm going to say that we've done with the 2x2 now. And then Jesus said, let's go on from there. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Okay? Anything else from there onwards that you want to lift out? Two by two. Our first point. That was good. Alright? And the planning and all that going with it. Alright, next one. What do you see?
Yeah, the ball. I think once you send in a mission, God will actually provide.
Okay, great. And it comes from? Okay, it comes there from, it says, Jesus says, go your way, behold, I'm sending you. Okay, so this is also one thing that we can speak about. I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. We'll come back to that one. But then what Adam says is, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Okay, again, back to our first point, being focused. Don't be distracted. Go and do what I told you to do. And then we'll go on from there later, whatever house you enter. Okay, so God will provide.
The lambs in the midst of wolves.
Yes.
A lamb has no way to protect themselves.
Okay.
Plus, it connects with the knapsack and then not taking any provision.
Yes.
So if God sends you, you have to trust in his provision, but you won't see it yet.
Okay.
And also, you're very vulnerable. Amen. That is the scary thing about missions. So you have to trust that the Lord will protect. And that in obedience, there is already provision of even
yes.
protection and food and a place for your head, even 10 minutes before you need it, type of thing.
Okay, great. I like it. Something else. Don is going to be fit this evening. He's going to run for us.
Those who are sent by God, they have his authority. In verse 16, he says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So if you are sent, you can do all those things with the authority that God had.
Amen.
So.
Hallelujah. This is God provides. Okay, something else about the sending as lambs among wolves. Okay. Yes. Okay. Awesome.
Okay. God can send you in a dangerous place.
Yes.
Only you need to do, you don't have to carry any weapon
yeah.
because he, yes, he can protect you.
Yes. Hallelujah. But that's good. That's why I'm just focusing on that as lambs among wolves. God can even send you into dangerous places. Okay. Give me a scripture when it's about this lamb thing about Jesus that explains that it's even into dangerous places regarding Jesus. Old Testament says he was led as a lamb to be slaughtered. Okay? And that's not too comfortable for many of us. So sometimes, yes, there's protection. Yes, there's great stuff. But sometimes you might even have to lay down your life for that.
This is a very controversial conversation. But we will also join in his suffering.
Yes.
That's also, we relate to him in his resurrection, but also in his suffering.
Yes.
And then protection of what? Because you also get hurt in the mission field.
Yes.
So what is then protected?
Yeah.
I'm asking.
Okay.
Should I ask everyone? What is the promise of protection? What does it mean?
Yeah.
Is it bodily? Is it financially? Is it because if I let someone into my house and
yes.
they take my stuff, but the Lord said let them in.
Yep.
then my stuff isn't protected.
Yes, I know. You are leaving it hanging, but we don't have to. But I mean, it's a place where when Jesus sent you to do something, you know, there's protection there as long as you are in His will. But His will might sometimes even be, you know, to lay down your life and your stuff and whatever, because Romans 8:28, God will make everything work together for the good of those who love Him. Okay? So, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be comfortable, because that many times is it's a Western mindset that we've got. When we go out into missions, you know, we'll lay down our lives for God as far as, you know, we can see. But if there's something that's beyond that, then it gets a little bit difficult. But that's our Western way of thinking, consumerist. I want to make a difference. I want to make a contribution. But, you know, how far is that going to go? But anyway, so yes, it's controversial, but it's part of it. But what I like Jesus when He says it, He says we go as lambs, okay, among wolves. So what Jesus does not do is He doesn't give us a false expectation, and that's great.
Sorry, can I just go back to that part of the shoes?
Yes.
Those weren't tar roads.
Yeah.
And walking those roads without shoes is very uncomfortable.
Yes, but I think
it means that this will not be an easy path.
Okay. I haven't seen it like that, yeah, but I think they have shoes on their feet. It's not extra shoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and the thing is also that so easily to get distracted. Mm-hmm. That's why they give the instruction not to talk to anybody along the way.
Yes.
So we don't lose the vision.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. So I want to move on a little bit quickly. Otherwise, we're not going to get through all of it. But if you've got some burning thing in your heart, you can share it. Let's just speak about that next part when you said, you know, come to a house, peace to this house, and if a son of peace is in there, your peace will rest upon him. What do you guys see in that?
I just want to ask you something.
Yeah?
With regard to what Murray was saying.
Yes.
You know, we talk about what dangers there are in missions, and you spoke about this other man who went to preach, and then in another African country, and then they shot him down, and then they sent another one.
Yeah.
So it's contradictory, because in verse 19, Jesus promises that nothing shall by any means hurt us.
Okay.
So what happens if, let's say, I go and I get shot down? What is the... I'm confused.
Yeah. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. So, you know, in that specific story, God told them to go, knowing full well that they will die. But He knew that that was the seed necessary to reach that hard place. Okay? So, when... And most people, I would think, you know, God says, I will never let anything happen unless I let my prophets know about it. Okay, so when you go into a place like that, I would think, and you know that, what's that revival thing in Brazil among the, what was those, the drug lords, okay? There was massive revival that God has done there, but the pastor that He used was also killed. And that was the seed sown for all the people to come together, and then they brought down that whole empire in that place because of that seed sown. But before that pastor left, he told his wife, he feels that the Lord says that he must lay down his life. But not like, you know, in a hypothetical way. He actually told her that he thinks he's going to get killed. So, I know this is tough stuff, but yes. Okay. This was a specific. I didn't want to go that far, but this was a specific one. There was another time that Jesus also sent out the people, and then He did the opposite of this. He said, "Take money, take an extra sandal, take an extra cloak, take all of those things," because there was a different mission with a different perspective, and Jesus sent them out in a different way. Okay. So we're focusing on this one, but for this mission, yes, nothing will by any means hurt you. Okay, so They all came back with a great report, and it was awesome. Okay, the other one, Jesus sent them out, and he told them different things to do that.
Am I doing it for the Lord's will 100%, or am I doing it for 80% the Lord's will, and then 20%, Lord, I still want to also look cool, or I still also want to come back, or
yes.
I still also love my family, because the Lord says, if you love me, some of the translations say, you have to love me so much that even if you love your mom, it must look like you hate her in comparison.
Yes.
This is now a lot of words, but am I laying down my life for the Lord completely? Am I sold out for His will, whatever that might be, and to trust that He will use my life in whichever capacity? As a mom or as a missionary, who knows, maybe I won't come back. That, yeah.
Cool. And again, a mom is a missionary. Okay, so that's the point. You've already been sent. Okay, so we don't do the dichotomy. Sometimes we just get sent to different places, but everybody's been sent. Okay? Right. So let's move on. And then it says there, and this I want us to just think around. It says that after this peace thing, okay, we haven't spoken about that. I'm just going to fill it in here because of time constraint. But it says that when you enter a house, say peace to this house. And if there's a man of peace in that house, then your peace will remain on it. Okay, so sometimes we go like kamikaze and we just shoot from the hip. And when we forgot this principle, this man of peace principle. Okay, so whenever God sends you to a place, go and look for the man of peace. Or the woman of peace. Or the ladies of peace here for the college. They're all here. So there's a place where we go out and we trust God that the man of peace will be there, because then it will just make things easier. It doesn't mean the other one will be fruitless. It will be just a little bit more difficult to reach the people. Okay, we see it a lot. Jesus just speaking to that lady at the well. You know, she was the woman of peace for that whole city. Okay, Jesus speaks to one person, the whole city gets saved. Man of peace. All right. And then after that, just want us to think about this one. It says they do not go from house to house, and if you get to the house, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborers deserves his wages. Yeah, you can't say I don't like beans. Don't want beans. All right? For our context, especially, you know, when you go out, don't make it a comfort thing. If you go from house to house, it's like, I like to go to Donnie and Marginette's house, because you're there, you get lekker biscuit. Okay, so I'd rather go and stay there. No, God says, when you go, with that man of peace, be there and stay there. Continue there. Don't let your other things get in the way. Okay, so then you can say, I'm not going to say anymore. You're done there. Anything else that you guys want to lift out here from that last passage before we get to when they return?
Have to know the culture of the people.
Yeah.
And that is why the scripture is saying, if you go to a house, you must take it as they present it to you.
Yes.
So you can't go and minister to somebody if you're not interested to see how they experience something.
Yes.
Like you said this morning, we have to change to reach the other people.
Yeah.
So I just feel here that we have to adapt to that person's way of living.
Amen.
And the way that they do things.
Yes.
And then can reach them that way. But if we come with our own made up minds,
yes,
and we want to preach the gospel in our way, not in God's way, it's not going to work.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the big debate about culture and Christ. You know, Christ is many times is for culture. So whenever you go to a culture, then go and see in that culture which of those things in that culture has God already put His fingerprint on. Okay, so God the Father has made a culture, and in that culture there are things that represent him already. You go and you find that. That's what Paul did. Okay, so Paul gets to Athens where there's a lot of Greeks. They don't understand anything of the Jews. Then he goes there and he sees this one statue as he was walking there. He says there's this, he sees this, all these statues, all the gods, and then there's this one to the unknown God. And he gets his foothold into the culture. And now he starts to speak to them about this unknown God. So he accesses them in that place so that they can get the message. And this is what many times, you know, hinders us from being effective in bringing the message across. When we go to evangelize somebody, even in South Africa, you know, we are blessed enough to have 11 official languages and a lot of other cultures. But many times we cannot effectively transfer the gospel because we are too stuck in our own culture to do that. Okay? So, heard the story of a Brahmin or whatever, one of those great Hindu guys in India. He didn't have water. It's a story that's told by a guy that really reached the Hindu people effectively. Is that this guy was thirsty. He didn't have water. And then this guy could see he needs the water. And as he goes to give him the water, he takes, you know, a cup, anyone, and he brings it to him. And then when this guy sees the water, he knocks the cup out of the guy's hand. And the guy's like, dude, you're going to die. You need the water. But the thing is, because he is in India, he's one of the highest castes in the caste system. And in his culture, it means that he cannot drink from a vessel that is given to him, which is not his own. So then this guy goes and he goes to the guy's bag and he gets his cup, takes the water, and then this guy receives it gladly. Thank you so much for the water, and he drinks it. And that's the same thing with us and bringing the message across to people. Sometimes we give it in such a way, it's living water, they need it, they're going to die without it, but we give it in such a way that they are unable to receive it. Okay? We need to work through those things. Okay. Almost done. Let's skip to the bottom. There were 17 to 20. What do you guys see as they came back? What stands out for you guys in there?
What's interesting for me is that Jesus says in the beginning, the harvest is great and the laborers are few.
Yes.
So go and preach the gospel. But then there's another command in there is go and pray for the sick, or go and heal the sick.
Yes.
We tend to forget that. I mean, it says that. It doesn't say anything else. It only says pray for the sick. Or
yes.
Heal. Let the sick get healed.
It's coming.
My perception of the days that we live in, the times we live in now,
yeah,
and missionaries and going on missions, is that it's much easier these days in the sense that God has already paved the way for you.
Yes.
I'm thinking of anywhere that my children have gone, they've actually made contact with somebody that's there already.
Yes.
That man of peace. So that makes it a lot easier than just going out into the wilderness and trying to spread the gospel.
Do your own thing. Yeah. No, definitely. That's why we work according to the Man of Peace principle. Hey, Dani, thanks.
Okay. In verse 20,
yeah,
it says, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven.
Amen.
So when you are in a mission, don't be excited that, okay, the Lord is serving me with this and this.
Yes.
What are you doing in return, or what are you doing to show the Lord that, Lord, I appreciate whatever you have done for me through what I have been through in the mission, so that my name can be written in heaven.
Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Good, let's go over there from verse 17 onwards. There was one now in verse 20, and I love that. So what else do you see?
Okay.
Okay, but I love that. Okay. Maria is she's psyched up for tonight.
I agree with her in the verse 20 where it says, yes. Where's your focus and yeah. Where's your joy?
Amen.
Is it in what you have done now? Oh, the demons listen to me? Or is it that, Lord, what are you doing? And where, like, the Lord is already there. He has already done things in this country or in this people group or in this town. And I'm just falling into it. And I'm leaving again, but he's carrying on. So to rejoice in, yeah, that rather my salvation and now these other salvations, and that in the name of Jesus, all of this is happening and I could be a part of it. Like, where's your focus? Because a lot of times in missions, the devil comes to steal joy and to just woo your focus so that you think about yourself and your contribution. And also, when you don't get a thank you, when you've been making food for 3 weeks, then the focus gets stolen. And now Jesus, he knows this. So he says, don't rejoice in the fruit almost. Mm. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that also comes back to that other question. Yeah. Both the pastor and now that other 900 people who got saved because he died, their names are now written in heaven. 901 names in heaven instead of just one pastor.
Yes. Great. Okay, so that is the crux of that last part.
Here's another one.
Yeah, okay, go.
Yeah, a couple of years ago we did a missions training day, and I will never forget what the pastor said. He had a big heading, which he called entitlement. And he said, when you go, you are entitled to nothing. And I think that's a good attitude to go. Well, it's a good attitude to have anyway.
Yes.
But when you go over and you do the dirty work on a missions team, or you do the, you know, you work behind the scenes, we don't see anything happen or whatever, you just remember that you're not really entitled. Jesus didn't entitle himself to anything.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, when you rejoice in the right things, and you know it's not about my effort or what I can get back, not entitled to anything.
Amen. And especially in our culture today, you know, it's nice to see demons jump when you say in the name of Jesus. Okay? It's nice to see people get healed when you use the name of Jesus. But that is, you know, that is the our weakness as human beings in that place, is that we can get deceived and then we start to focus and run after the signs and the wonders, and we forget where we're supposed to focus. That's why Jesus says, listen, I know this is cool when they come back. I know this is awesome. But just check here. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you in my name. Rejoice in this. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven. Okay. So that is amazing.
I just wanted to say that whenever the Lord sends you on a mission, he rejoices in your obedience.
Yes. Peter, and I'm a better kid, says, you know?
Yeah, I just want to say that it's joy to see some people get saved and their names also written in the book of life.
Yes.
But Jesus affirms the people here. He just say, I saw the devil falling from heaven like lightning.
Yes. Amen. That is God.
John 5 and verse 19, he says, behold, I've given you authority and power. But that is like physical and mental strength and ability over the power that the enemy possesses.
Yes.
And nothing shall in any way harm you, because it's very, in circumstances, it can be very overwhelming. And if you don't trust in the Lord in circumstances like that, you won't make it. You will get harmed because your mental way is going down, like the way you see things happen, and you don't see any hope and things. You don't trust in the Lord in that circumstances. You will get harmed.
Okay.
Yeah, so you trust in the Lord in
always.
This. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, last one and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. On verse 18, Jesus said that he saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven, which means when God sent you, like in a dangerous place, you will maybe think like, maybe when he sent you to do something, you'll be like, no, this thing is too big for me. No, don't be scared, cause Satan is so fast. He's like lightning. He can send someone now or fast thought not to do that thing that God told you to do. So only you need to trust him.
You like when he's on you? Okay. See, the people like to speak. I like it.
Amen. I love the last verse. It says, but do not be glad because the evil spirit obey you. Rather be glad because your names are written in heaven. So I think also this tells us about obedience and knowing and being able to separate. What is it that God says? Because sometimes when the evil spirit obey you, you become excited. But the reality is that what is it that is going to make you go to heaven? Is the fact that you are saved.
Amen.
And your name is written in the palm of Jesus. So rather be glad on what God says, the fact that your name is written in heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Rian and then Yuval, and then we're done.
I agree with the lighting and stuff, because in the scripture it says when the angels are praising, which sounds like thunder and lightning, I think that's of the holiness and how they anoint God, and also when there's a soul saved with someone, or someone's soul is saved, the angels also like rejoice and they like praise God for it, and
Amen.
I just think that
I think something that is very important is that if you go on a mission, apart from the fact that you have the assurance that God is going to protect you, I think prayer plays a major role in preparing yourself, praying for your safety, praying for the safety of others, praying for spiritual strength, and praying for fruitfulness to achieve a good mission. So I think prayer is very important, continuous prayer.
Amen. That's what you said. Pray to the Lord the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest. And that's... anyway, so... But I want us to just see, and when it comes to portions of scripture like this, and especially if we think missiologically, then it's good just to stand still and to see what Jesus did when he sent out the 72, okay? And just to remember to apply that in our lives as we go out. And we already sent. Again, I'm just want to clarify. I'm not saying, okay, to live like you're on mission is living like that everywhere you go. Not just when you're sent to Timbuktu or to some other place, okay? You've already been sent. So whenever you are working, whenever you are playing, or they know that you've been sent there by God to do his work. All right. So let's pray tonight, and then not me. We're going to pray together. I want us to turn to each other, just two or three or four if you want to. Turn toward one another, and then just pray for people that are in your influence sphere where you are, you know, working or studying or whatever, and then ask God to just bless those people, and ask God to show you the men and the women of peace that he wants you to go and reach so the gospel can spread. Okay, so let's turn to one another and let's pray for that, and then to pray and ask God to send out laborers into his missions field. Okay. Father, thank you that we can just come to you tonight, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that you bring us to that place where, God, we walk in your will. Lord, we respond to your sending and your call. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we go into our worlds, Lord God, and our spheres of influence, Lord, in this week, God, we pray, Lord, that we will know that we are sent. And God, that we can practice some of the principles that we see here in Scripture that you've given us, Lord, to go out and to reach this world. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for every heart here, and I pray, Lord, that you bless us. You give us, Lord, your joy, Lord, as we rejoice, because our names are written in the book of life. And Lord, that we can know from that place, we can send, or we can just reach everybody, Lord God, with the joy that is in our hearts, because of what Christ has done for us. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.